This hour of the Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans, fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Thank you all for joining us. A blessed to be with you, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. So many stories to talk about. Do want to thank Carrie Patton and Heidi Harris and all our great guests that we've had in the past couple weeks. But now the hour is yours, whether you're Gene and Cuna or Big Mike or whomever else. And, well, you know, you can have an hour of me or an hour of you. And it's really one of those stories that, well, that you just try and figure out where you go. So let me start with telling you the truth. I took a couple days to see a few friends of mine in Reno, Nevada. And I've never been to Reno, and I kind of liked it. It was okay. And if you're into gambling, like somebody that went with me was, Reno's a great place. And it's a lot of angst and a lot of gristle. It's like a gristle on your steak, if you will. And, you know, while I was there, Dave Burnett says, well, you got to go to Virginia City. So I drove to Virginia City on that twisting, winding, crazy, wacko road. And I'm going, can you imagine anyone doing this on a wagon or a horse or something like that? And when you travel as Dave Petzl calls it, that crazy road from Oregon where you have to go 55. Now, I don't want to jinx anybody, but I went 55 all the way there until you hit the great state of Nevada. And I didn't see one police officer, which was a good thing because, what is the fine, $300 for a speeding ticket in Oregon? And on the way back, I was going to go 55 and kept getting passed and passed. So I, you know, went a little faster. No Oregon police officers there, troopers, if you will. They called them troopers in Oregon. Really? I thought they called them troopers everywhere, but regardless of that, it really makes me appreciate being here with you. Number one, the fact that we have this unique forum today, and it is unique. I listen to radio stations and radio shows, and just like you, I'm thinking to myself, oh, is this all they have to offer? And I know what you're saying, Kevin, it's Friday. We've got Iraq, we've got the Levy and Meridian, we've got Bo's back, we've got Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck on the same program last night on 580 KIDO, and you're talking about grizzled Reno, Nevada. But it always hit, and I never leave. I never like to leave because this is too important to me not to be with you 6 days a week. And so just a few thoughts as I was driving around Reno, Nevada, and I was thinking to myself, wow, there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of dirt, there's a lot of this, and look, I kind of like that stuff. And we really are spoiled here because the people are friendly, the water's clean, the air is pure. Is it perfect? No. But it just made me appreciate where I live and being with you. And I was going crazy considering some of these great stories. And we'll talk about this Levy and Meridian coming up. Man, big money Meridian. The idea of Bo Bergdahl going home. The Iraq militants going crazy. And let me just start quickly with the Bo Bergdahl situation. Have we, as a nation, really understood what that young man has gone through? And I was listening to Sean Hannity last night on my way back in, and he and Glenn Beck were going back and forth, and Sean was promoting his television show, which he does often, and Glenn promotes his television show, which he does often. And they were talking about the swift boating of Bergdahl's troops, and how these guys have been swift-boated, and it's so unfair. And I understand that. I'm thinking to myself, well, what about the Bergdahls themselves? What about the allegations now that Bo Bergdahl, you know, shouldn't have been in the Army, that he was in the, what was it, the Coast Guard. It was a big story in the Washington Post, picked up by the Statesman, picked up by everybody else. You have a young lady in town, Kim, whatever her name is, won't talk to anybody. Good, Kim, don't talk to anybody. But he's trying to get the other side of the story out. And I thought to myself, no one is really standing up for Bob and Janie. No one is really standing up for Bo. And yet Sean last night is talking about the swift boating of the unit. And the unit did have discipline problems. The unit did have this. Does that mean that they're being swift boated? They don't have a problem speaking their mind, which, look, in America, you should be able to speak your mind.
But then he walked away in the middle of Afghanistan, on the farthest front lines you could be on, to go seek out the Taliban.
You feel that was an affront to you, that to say that his service was with honor and distinction?
Saying that that's honorable, saying that walking away, and whatever his agenda was in trying to connect with the Taliban, explain to me how that's honorable.
Seem to be trying to predate it.
I mean, that's spitting in the face to everyone who deployed, came back.
That's every service. It goes for every service
member. Yeah. Not even us or his company. Every single person who's in the military.
Well, what do you make of these reports?
Right, and there you have Megyn Kelly doing her thing. But, and I like this, what do you think? It wasn't Bo Bergdahl that said he served with honor. In fact, if you heard from Bo Bergdahl at 580KIDO, if you heard from him, he doesn't even want his promotion. He doesn't even want his extra money. And so here you have the White House saying that he served with honor and distinction. Well, no, he didn't. But that doesn't mean you rip him, right? Obviously, there are some issues. And don't we help troubled young people in America today? Don't we? Or are we just so close to vilifying them? And as I'm thinking about this, I'm going, there are a lot of misinformed people here. And do I bear some responsibility? I think to myself, I urged you to pray for Sergeant Bergdahl. I urged you to do this and that, and I can't walk back from that. And we all knew what was going on here. And I love this guy on Fox News. He's a friend of the family. Really? When have you ever went to the family and hung out with them? And everybody's trying to make their bones off the Bo Bergdahl story. He's at Sam Houston. It's funny. There's one person in the Treasure Valley media that's been to Landstuhl and Sam Houston Medical Center, and that's Kevin Miller. But we'll just read from the Associated Press pretending to know this story. We don't know this story. We don't. Do we? And I think there's somewhere, unfortunately, there's a troubled young man and his parents that love him dearly that are in the midst of a judgmental firestorm. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, the fall of Baghdad first. Gene and Cuna at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my brother. How are you today?
Living the dream, and you?
Hey, same with me, Matt. And it's getting better and better, too, because I get to listen to you every morning when I drive home.
Well, thank you, Gene.
Better. You're welcome. Listen, this thing about Bergdahl, you know, I've been praying, my family's been praying for this young man and his family. I don't know him, just what I've heard. And the people don't seem to understand, you know, there's bullying going on everywhere. Maybe this guy was bullied a bit. Maybe he was told that he didn't fit in. Maybe he was told that he could never fit in. Maybe he didn't want to fit in. But the thing is, when you're in a unit like that, you need to try to work something out so you can fit in. If you can't, then you go to your superior and say, look, this isn't working for me. Is there something else you can put me in, somewhere else you can put me so that I can be more effective? Maybe he was trying to break up a fight. Maybe he was just being pushed around a whole lot because he wasn't what they call the normal guy. None of us are normal. We all have the right to be who we are, but I really feel sorry for these folks. I really hope and pray that this young man, if he decides to step up and talk to the media, man up about it. And there's no way that he can man up right now. I mean, we used to liberate people out of EC target camps all the time, and these people are just so humiliated and so beat up and so abused that they were just like little whipped up staff. They were in bad shape, Kevin. And I got a feeling Bo Bergdahl the same way. But whether he was pushed beyond a point that he could no longer tolerate or whatever it was, we don't have the right as a community to judge that. All we have the right to do is look at the facts and say, okay, is there something we can do to make this young man's life better? Is there something we can do to help him? Let's be humanitarians here and try to help these people instead of keeping on judging them. Well, he did this and he did that. Well, okay, if he walked away, then he did walk away. But I find it very odd that all of a sudden everybody's coming out of the woodwork saying, well, Bo Bergdahl was this, Bo Bergdahl was that. Okay, these people served with him, but what did they stand to gain by coming onto the national media and saying, okay, well, he was this, he was that, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, well, why didn't you say something before now? And one last thing here before I really blew my cool is the military knew about this 5 years ago. And supposedly, they knew about all his issues 5 years ago. Why aren't we mad at the military for withholding all of this instead of being so angry with the Bergdahl family? That would be my question to these guys to say, okay, well, vote to this and vote to that. Well, if the military knew about it, why didn't the military say something about it? That's what I was wondering.
Well, and here's the issue that I have. Why the vilification of the father? Why are they saying he's a Muslim when he's a Presbyterian?
He's no more a Muslim than you or I, Kevin. He simply was trying to make a statement, I believe, that, look, I'm going to grow my beard till my son comes home to make a statement that he's in a Muslim-supported area or a Muslim area, period. He wants to grow a beard, fine. He wants to grow his hair down to his rear end and braid it 15 ponytails. That's his business. It's not our business to judge him for what he does. It's our business to try to help them through it. That's what our business should be. That's just my take on it, anyway.
Your take is always welcome, Brother Gene.
Thank you, my brother. You have a great day and be blessed as always.
All right, you too.
Thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Our great friend, Gene from CUNA, but the big story from Jared Halperin at Fox News Radio at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller.
Early this morning, Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl landed in Texas. He's now continuing what the Pentagon calls the reintegration process at the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. His arrival back in the States, coming 2 weeks after a prisoner swap with the Taliban secured his release, he was initially flown to a U.S. military hospital in Germany. Well, the focus up to this point is on Sergeant Bergdahl's health and well-being. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel this week told lawmakers the Pentagon is reviewing the events that led to Bergdahl's capture. In Washington, Jared Halperin, Fox News Radio.
You know, it's interesting how we've gone from he served with honor and distinction to no promotion, and we're going to review the events of his desertion. How many times have you been at work and somebody screws up and they don't blame you? They don't blame them. They blame you because you're in charge. You're in command. So aren't you responsible? Is that swift boating the unit? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Coming up next, I do want to hear from folks that served in Iraq, whether it was with our friends with the Guard or with the Reserves or with the active duty on possibly the fall of Baghdad. That's next. What does it mean to you? Should we save Iraq again? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work.
We are the Rebel Alliance getting together, bucking the trend.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. I love your show, by the way.
You got a great show. I sure appreciate it.
Good morning, Kevin. You're doing fantastic. Gosh, you are really, I think, top.
There's a lot of people out here appreciate your show and appreciate what you do. And over and out. And forth. Let's get it
started. Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Let's get it started.
When he said that he's not ruling anything out, he was responding to the question about requests for airstrikes or would he consider airstrikes, and that's what he meant.
I have to say it was predictable, and I predicted it all the way back in 2011 on numerous occasions.
And there we have it. By the way, that was Jay Carney, John McCain, and here is the president.
But the basic principle, obviously, is that we, like all nations, are prepared to take military action whenever our national security is threatened.
Gee, all the oil in Mosul to Crete. Talking about Iraq is like old home day. I had a chance, and you might have heard our friend Wilson Myers, who was in Mosul, who was in Abu Ghraib, who was over there. You have our friends with the 116th that did not one but two deployments. The loss of life, the loss of blood, the loss of treasure, was it worth it? Considering, and I love what the president says, they've got to step up. Heck, the Iraqi army that we trained is, they're throwing off their clothes and running around naked so they don't get beheaded. More on that in a minute. Speaking of naked, we're joined by Linda from Emmett, who likes to laugh at being naked.
Oh, what a picture that must be. Good Lord.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with going all natural.
Oh, no, there sure isn't. Not the right circumstances, at any rate.
You're right.
So what I called in about was this quote-unquote mess, and that's the way I look at it, with Bo Bergdahl and, you know, people taking pot shots at his family, and nobody is going to know the whole story. The only person that knows the whole story is Bo, and I wonder, with the psychological mess he must be in, if we're ever going to know the truth. It's got me scratching my head a little bit, going, wait.
Well, do we want to know the truth when we have people saying that the unit wasn't up to standards? And it's funny because people say the unit's being attacked. Michael Hastings, in that article, God Rest His Soul, in Rolling Stone, that everybody quotes, talked about the dysfunctionality of that very unit. We don't question
the
patriotism of those troops, but no, war is not politically correct, everybody.
Yep. I agree. But I just, you know, it's almost like they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And it's going to be left up to him whether he's, you know, sinks or swims. And I think a lot of people in this country are jumping to the easiest conclusion that they can grab on at this time, which is he a deserter? How bad was the unit he was in? And like I said, nobody's going to know nobody's going to know the truth of that. The only person that knows the truth is Bo. And if he wants to share that with, when they get done debriefing him, if he wants to share that with the United States population, I think that would be great. But I'm not so sure it's going to happen because, you know, who knows what kind of psychological stuff he was under. Even though, quote, unquote, he deserted his unit. There's too many questions.
Well, here's another one. Okay, because, you know, whether, you know, we'll establish how he left his post coming up, Linda, at 580KIDO, yeah. But let's just go with that. Does that mean that we leave him there? Do we believe that the White House said that he was going to be killed if we didn't get him? What do we do? What do we do, Linda?
Oh, my God, Kevin, I don't know. There's too many things that are going on with this situation that don't make any sense to me at all. You know, yes, we don't leave our own behind if we can get in and get them. But what took 5 years to go in and get them? Who did Obama think he is? Because he circumvented Congress. That's an impeachable action. And I don't hear anybody yelling for him to get impeached or step down or anything else.
Well, why did Eric Cantor lose? Because just like the Republicans, just like Obama, they're out of touch with America.
Well, I don't know if it's so much out of touch with the people. I think the people are more out of touch with...
That's the way they like it.
Yeah, well, not this person. I'd like to know what's going on. And I'm glad that Cantor got
the boot
bounced out. Because from whatever I heard, whenever I heard him, it was like, oh, please, put a pie in your face and don't talk to me anymore.
Put a pie? Why would you put a pie in?
Why am I using that? Well, it's the Cherry Festival up here this weekend, and they're having a pie-eating contest. So.
In Emmett.
Yeah. It's a big deal up here.
Pie-eating contest.
Yeah. Cherry pie.
Cherry pie.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes. It's the best thing ever, Linda. And,
okay,
gee, I don't know how I'm not going to be able to make the Cherry Pie Festival there.
Well, you can come up Saturday for the parade. You could come up and go incognito and nobody knew you were there.
This is Fastly going nowhere, Linda.
Well,
are you inviting me on a date? I'm a married man.
I know you're a married man, and you're married to a very wonderful person.
Well, she's got you fooled. Oh, whoops. Yes, yes, you're right. Yes, she does listen, so yes, you're right.
Yeah, she's a real sweetheart.
She's no Linda from Emmett, though. Don't tell her I said that.
Oh, well, thank God there's only one of me.
That's what Pat from Middleton says.
Yep. Well, and like Jim from Star was talking about the bicycle riders. Yeah, I'm all over the place.
All right. Well, look, you go have some cherry pie for me. I'll see you.
Okay, dear. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You see, this is what you won't hear anywhere else, folks. All right, coming up, a live report from the Middle East, our friend Emily Wither. We'll talk more about Iraq. Was it worth it? Is it time to go back? Plus, Idaho adds the words, former state senator Nicole LaFaver will join us in the 7 o'clock hour, one-on-one with her. Quite frankly, I don't think that Idaho needs to add the words anymore, but I think that the proponents have added the words of redefining marriage have won, right? Right? We'll talk about it. Keep it here. Good morning, 580 KIDO.
News. Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:38, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, a live report with Emily Wither. Fox News Radio concerning what's going on in the Middle East. The latest now is Baghdad could fall. Baghdad could fall. Can you imagine that? How many of you remember the deployments that we had here? How many do you remember watching, yearning, and waiting for your loved ones to come home? You know, we were very blessed that wasn't the TV stations, wasn't the newspapers. It was good old Kay Milley and you that took 2,000 letters to the troops in Iraq. We've been there. This show has been there in its incarnation here in Idaho. And it's in its incarnation in North Carolina. So we have been there. We've seen the successes. And quite frankly, when you talk to the troops, when you were there, when you were at Victory, when you were at Liberty, when we were outside the wire, by the way, all those videos available on YouTube, you saw the great works, the sacrifice of our troops. Could it have all been for absolutely nothing?
500,000 is what we're looking at from the official numbers given by the government. But you couple that with the 300,000 that were displaced from Anbar, you're getting up to close to 1 million IDPs right now.
Amazing. Joined now by our great friend Emily Wither, Fox News Radio at 580 KIDO. Emily, are we surprised that this has happened? Good morning.
Hello, good morning. I don't think we should be too surprised about what has happened, and there are a couple of reasons for that. Firstly, you cannot ignore a problem in the Middle East and expect it to go away. That's something that I've learned from covering this area. And the situation in Syria has been ignored by the international community for so long that these Islamic militant groups have been allowed to grow and become more powerful in safe havens that they've carved out in parts of Syria. And that's what's allowed this Sunni militant group to really become the very powerful fighting force that we've seen over the last week or so as they've moved into Iraq and captured various towns and cities. The other thing we shouldn't be surprised about is that there is a lot of anger towards the Shiite-led government. This has been brewing for some time. There are many Sunnis in the country who feel marginalized by the government of Nouri al-Maliki. They feel that they're discriminated against and that they've been shut out of central government. And so this very slowly creeping tension again between Sunnis and Shiites has been growing steadily over the year with an increase in suicide attacks and various outbreaks of fighting. Now, what happened this week was this militant group, originally from Iraq, but as I said before, grew very powerful in Syria, has crossed over the border. They're Sunni militants, and they started seizing towns and cities. And I think with the speed that they have managed to capture some of these places, it's clear that they have a lot of popular support from the various Sunni strands in some of these communities, who, as I said before, have been angry at the Shiite-led government for some time. So when you have a powerful militant group sweeping in saying that they want to create an Islamic state and a safe haven for Sunnis, it's not unsurprising that they've garnered a lot of this anger among the Sunnis and popular support from some of the other Sunni militant groups.
Emily Wither joining us at 580KIDO. Not to go too deep, but we will. A lot of folks may not understand the relationship between the Sunnis and the Shias, that the Sunnis did rule for so many years, and then all of a sudden, through Saddam Hussein, and then our government installed, and NATO installed, a Shia-led group, which is the source of the distress. Is that right, or do I have it backwards?
No, that's exactly correct. So the Sunnis are the majority in Iraq. The Shiites are the minority. However, they are the main sort of power-sharing force in the government in Baghdad, though there is a sort of power-sharing agreement among the Sunnis and the Kurds, but it is a Shiite-led government nonetheless. And Sunnis in the country have felt very angry for some time that the Shiite-led government discriminates against them, and this has really stirred up some of them about sectarian tension. And Nouri al-Maliki, the Shiite leader of the country, has been criticized for not doing enough to try and unite the different ethnic groups. If anything, he's been criticized for stirring up some of that ethnic tension himself. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why this Sunni Islamic group has found it not that difficult to get support as they swept in and vowed to march towards the capital, Baghdad.
Well, and Emily at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning, it's time for our I Miss Crazy Mahmood moment. Imagine if a Crazy Mahmood were still in charge in Iran. Here we have these enemies, the Iraqis and the Iranians. Now the Iranians are coming to the defense of the Iraqis over this group.
They are, yes, but, well, not over this group. They're coming over to the defense of the Shiite government, and that's not surprising because Iran is a Shiite Muslim state. So they are very close with the Shiite-led government in Baghdad, and they have been offering help to Baghdad. They've offered weapons, they've offered advisors, and there are even some rumors that they've offered to send troops in, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. It's definitely something that they have been discussing. And what we might see here, which is very unusual, is that the government in Washington might actually find some kind of cooperation with Tehran, because if the U.S. starts to help the government in Baghdad a lot more to fight this Sunni insurgency, they're going to find themselves working side by side with the Iranians. So we'll have to watch that space and see how that strange relationship plays out as both of these countries look to help the government in Baghdad deal with this crisis.
Emily Wither, you tell the truth at 580KIDO. We caught your reports all day yesterday as well. Isn't this embarrassing to the West, particularly the United States, considering the time, the resources invested into the Iraqi military that, based on some shots fired, stripped off their uniforms because of the brutality of the opponents? They don't want to be beheaded, so they just ran?
It is a little embarrassing. I mean, let's remember here that the U.S. has spent billions of dollars training the armed forces. They have also spent billions of dollars providing equipment, and it was felt, not only among the U.S., but other Western forces that were in Iraq, that this army was ready to go. And as this week has proved, the army hasn't quite held their ground. I mean, there have been widespread incidents of soldiers, as you said, they're simply taking off their uniforms, downing their weapons, and getting as fast as they can out of some of these areas. And, you know, some of the issues there are because of, again, the sectarian tensions. Are the soldiers Shiites or are they Sunnis? It's also felt that the army maybe isn't necessarily so completely loyal that they're willing to die defending their country. And also many of them are afraid. Let's remember here, this is an incredibly nasty militant group, the Islamic State of Iraq and Greater Syria, the group that are now fighting in Iraq. They are incredibly dangerous, so much so that even Al-Qaeda has distanced themselves from this group. And, you know, when Al-Qaeda says, hey, you know what, this group's a little bit too extreme for me, these guys are obviously going to be very extreme. And they've released a number of videos which have been made to try and instill fear among the police and among soldiers. One of them in particular that's made the rounds is a 61-minute video. It shows a Sunni police mayor being knocked on in the dead of the night in an Iraqi city by these militants. When he answers the door, he's blindfolded, he's taken up to his bedroom, and his knife, his head is cut off with a knife. So apologies, it's not really morning listening, but, you know, these types of videos is what is causing some of this fear among the Sunnis in Iraq's army and police forces, and it's already deepened what was low morale, and that's some of the issues causing these soldiers to abandon their posts.
Emily, quickly, what's next?
I don't know what's next, Kevin, but it's a very concerning situation. I think everyone is going to be watching this very closely over the coming days. It's possible there's going to be some large showdown over Baghdad. The militants have been able to take some of these other towns and cities very easily because they are Sunni dominated, and this is a Sunni Islamic group. Now, when they get to the capital, Baghdad, many of the Shiite militia groups and the Shiite forces in Baghdad will fight to defend it. And that's when we might see some very heavy fighting. The other thing to watch out for is how much involvement other countries are going to want to do to help the Baghdad government. The U.S. have spoken of airstrikes. They've spoken of drone strikes. For the most part, they've ruled out boots on the ground, as has NATO and Great Britain. But there will be some kind of international help that is announced in the coming days. And also, the big question is, you know, will Iran send in forces? That's also a possibility.
Emily, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, our great friend Emily Wither joining us from Jerusalem. Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO, the only morning show in the Valley that takes you live to the events as they happen. 648, let's get you to work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
653, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Yeah, we had a lot of folks that went to Iraq that did a lot for the Iraqi people. We'd love to hear from them. We'd love to hear from their families. Can you believe now in a day you have a bunch of terrorist thugs that have taken over half the country? A lot of oil there. A lot was promised in Iraq. A lot hasn't been delivered. Let's start with our own troop tribute to those who went and served and came back.
We're so appreciative for each and every person out there and that's dedicated some time to thinking about us or sending us something.
I just miss my family. I just miss my wife, Megan, and my kids.
We are over here trying to better the world.
Well, I love everyone. I miss them very much. God bless.
I just really miss my wife and my kids. Basically, it's just Kayla Livingston, Mallory Livingston, McKenna Livingston, and Bryce Livingston.
Much as you miss us, and we can't wait to get back.
We all miss you. We all want to be home right now.
You don't know how good you have it. Life is really good at home.
My wife, Deandra, and my two beautiful kids, that I love them and miss them.
Hi, honey, I love you, and I miss you so much. And to my special boys, Nathan, Tyler, and Jonathan, Mommy loves you, and I miss you very, very much.
I miss you all, and I wish I could be with you.
I have learned patience, tolerance, and love.
I miss you so much, and we'll be home soon.
I love you all, and I miss you, and I'll see you soon enough.
See y'all soon.
You know, I can never get tired of hearing that song and of our great troops in Idaho that served humanity and saved the world. And I know what you're saying. Well, Kevin, it's all going to hell again. Maybe. And I remember those folks, and I remember that unity, that camaraderie, that brotherhood, that sisterhood. I remember for our brief time together, it's funny, I didn't know Mrs. Miller then. She wasn't Mrs. Miller. And I said, it was amazing what we accomplished. Our group, this audience 2,000 letters. And to those people that sacrificed, we have not forgotten. To our great friend, retired Brigadier General Alan Gayhart, who along with a group of volunteers and the governor and the first lady and Cheryl Miller and so many created the Fallen Soldiers Memorial, we have not forgotten. What's going on in Iraq? Ron Paul Jim with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. I was just trying to remember, what was the objective again? What was the mission? Because if we look at the results, it looks like the objective was to put our so-called sworn enemy in charge of the Middle East. You know, Al-Qaeda? Because they're wreaking havoc, I should say, throughout the Middle East. You know, we're using them to try and topple these dictators, and now they're spreading all over the place. And even the sworn enemy of Iran is trying to is going into Iraq to try and stop it. You know, and then you look at Afghanistan. Since we've been there, production of opium is at an all-time high. And since this declared war on terror, it should have been called war on liberty, war on freedom. You know, surveillance is at an all-time high. You know, we have people that whistleblowers are being belittled by their personality of things they say.
And you're right, Ron Paul Jim. I apologize. It's got to run. It is 6:58. Time for traffic at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave. And coming up next, is it time for Idaho to add the words? Former State Senator Nicole LaFaber will join us. And we'll talk about a variety of cultural issues. We'd love to hear from you. Discussion dialogue next. 580 KIDO. Good morning.